Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to consider His stewardship, Luke chapter 16.
I want you to think about your wallet for just a minute. In a moment, I want you to take your wallet out and give it to the person seated right behind you. Why not? You don't trust the person behind you? You don't want them looking at your wallet? All right, you don't have to do that. We won't do that for an illustration this morning. But now think about this wallet for just a second, now that you're awake and worried about someone holding it. And I'm going to say, Brother Furso, will you stand up here for just a minute? I'm going to entrust you with this wallet right here, okay? Now just hold it up for me, because I want to see it. I want to see it at all times. Hold it right there. Hold it right there. Just keep your hand up. Now, God wants us to use our affluence for eternal influence. He wants us to trust Him with the matter of stewardship. With the debit card, the credit card, the whole thing, God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to make eternity. Could you hold it up a little higher, though, please? Thank you, Brother Furso. I want everyone, just keep your eye on me, but out of your peripheral of your vision, just keep an eye on Brother Furso and just watch him for me, because I don't want to see any unusual charges like Cubs games, things like that, on my wallet. All right? So just keep an eye on it. Now I can treat it that way, or I could say, Brother Furso, just go ahead and put it in your pocket there. All right? Just go ahead and put it in your pocket. And there it is. I'm trusting Him with it. I've given it to Him, and I've trusted Him. Now look at, God wants us to completely trust Him with our stewardship and to remember Him in eternity. And how many of you say, Pastor, to the best of my understanding, I'm trying to trust the Lord with all of my heart in the way of my giving. Now I trust the Lord, but I don't trust you, Brother Furso, so give me that wallet back right here. I'll just hold it for you. Actually, I need it for the next sermon. Thank you very much. The principles of biblical stewardship involve trusting all that we have to the Lord for the purpose of His eternal work. These are some of the principles. Let's notice, secondly, this morning, some of the promises that God gives to us. God says, when you trust me, there's some things I'm going to promise you. There's some things that you're going to learn about giving, because with every promise, there is a premise. I want you to see how this works. God says, here's what I want you to do, and here's what I will do. Notice this beginning in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is always also is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now notice, the faithful will be blessed. God says the first lesson I want you to see, the first promise I'm going to give to you, is that the faithful will be blessed. God says, I want you to be faithful with what I have given to you. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. God wants us to be faithful with our responsibilities. I've said this for years. I believe a Christian, I believe a member of Lancaster Baptist Church, ought to be one of the best people at the job site. They're on time, with a good attitude, doing the very best they can, helping the company, saving the company money, being honest with receipts, whatever the case might be. God wants us to be responsible in what He has given to us. He wants us to live with good credit. He wants us to live with a good testimony. He wants us to be responsible in this realm of stewardship, with our responsibilities, with our possessions. May I say to you this morning, I don't know what job you have, but be thankful for it. And it may not be the one God has for you forever, but I am a firm believer in this fact. God wants us to be thankful for what we have and for where we are in life before He blesses us further. I remember in our old building downtown at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, it was an older building, things were always breaking. We had one toilet in the men's restroom, and we had several days of 1,700 people in that church. And I'm telling you what, when a strain of the flu came through, there could be a line getting into that restroom. It was an amazing thing. There were other shortcomings of that facility. We had just a few parking spots. But you know what? We never complained about it. It was an exciting place. We were excited that God had given it to us. It was His house, and we just did the best with what we had. I don't know what you have today, but I want to tell you something. Be thankful for it. Be faithful. Be thankful for your car. Be thankful for the things God has given to you. God says, I want you to be faithful in your responsibilities, faithful with your possessions. He that is faithful in the least will then be faithful with the most. God says, I want you to be faithful. I'm always tickled with folks who say, you know, if I ever win the lottery, I am going to really give to the church. No, you won't. If we're not faithful when we have little, we'll not be faithful when we have much, you see. God says, be faithful with what you have. That leads us to the third thought, be faithful in your giving. It is a tragedy when a man does nothing because he can't do much. God says, do what you can. Verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If we're not faithful in the small things, how can God give us greater spiritual blessings or even material blessings? God says, I want to bless you, but I want you to be faithful with what you have. That's the principle of Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. God says, I want you to shovel it out, and I'll shovel it in. And I like what the old farmer said years ago. He said, God shovels it in, and I shovel it out. God shovels it in, and I shovel it out. God shovels it in, and I shovel it out. Then he said, and you know what, preacher? God has a bigger shovel than I do. God will take care of you. Terry and I, when we came to Lancaster, we moved into this city. We rented our own Ryder truck to come down and put our first and last month's rent down in a little apartment. And we had saved up about $4,000 and had hoped to use that maybe to buy a home or something. And within about 5 days, we had used every single penny of that money just investing in God's work and getting started with the work of the Lord. It wasn't much, but it was all we had. And I'm going to tell you something, it wasn't very much longer after that. I won't go into the whole story, but just through a series of events and friends we hadn't seen in years and years, that God had replaced that, had allowed us to have our first home, and that God was already providing. And time again, He says, what is that in thine hand? And you do your best, and God provides, and God provides, and God multiplies. Some people who have not lived that stewardship lifestyle may not understand that, but I'm going to tell you something. It's been a great journey, and it's a great joy to trust God and to honor God and to see God provide again and again and again as we are faithful to Him. Someone said, what I have spent, I have lost. What I have saved, I have left. but what I gave, I have. My friend, you will never regret one thing given to the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing given for the cause of eternity. And always remember that God does not require equal contributions. He only requires equal commitment. Notice that in verse number 10. He that is faithful, it says. He doesn't say, I want everyone to give the same contribution. He says, I want everybody to have the same commitment. I want everybody to be faithful with what they have. It is something that all of us must recognize. Everyone here has been prospered differently. Everyone here is blessed differently. And yet it's not equal giving, but equal sacrifice that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. I have found that consistent giving will lead to consistent living. Inconsistent givers are inconsistent livers. I have pastored now for over 2 decades. I have seen this to be true. And that is those that are consistently honoring the Lord, their heart is following that treasure. They're growing closer to the Lord. It's not the panacea. It's not the cure-all. But it is certainly one of the main characteristics of the faithful Christians I know is that they have come to a place of trusting the Lord. And so the faithful will be blessed. But I want you to see something even better than that. The faithful will be blessed eternally. The faithful will be blessed eternally. In verse 11, there's an interesting little phrase to me. It says, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Speaking of the eternal blessings of God. Speaking of that which is only given by God. And God says, I want you to know that as you honor me, I'm going to honor you. Now listen right here. Some of the prosperity teachers on the television and radio, they give the idea that God only blesses in the monetary sense. And I want you to know something. Some of the greatest blessings of your life are not going to be just receiving materially. We should not give simply so we can get more money. It's not like you're playing the stock market or putting money in a slot machine or something like that. No, no. And I do believe God blesses material. I just mentioned that a moment ago. God will honor that. You give and it is given. But I'm going to tell you, the true riches are beyond, far, far beyond the matter of simply receiving monetarily. I think of the salvation of a child. I think of the grace that's given in a time of trial. I think of the blessings that God gives to us that are not merely relegated to the financial realm. You know, folks, God is a good God, and He will bless us for eternity as we honor Him. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Folks, it's a blessing to honor the Lord, and God will bless us now and eternally as we honor Him. And so we see the principles of biblical stewardship. God wants all of us to be wise stewards. We see the promises that God says, if you're faithful in a little, I'm going to let you be faithful in much. But let's come finally to this thought, the priority of biblical stewardship. The priority of biblical stewardship. And here it is, and this is the grand conclusion of the matter, and I want you to look at verse 13 to get it with me this morning. Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, God is very clear throughout the Word that He wants first place in our lives. And the priority of biblical stewardship, as we'll see in a moment, is going to be to seek first God and His kingdom and His work in our lives. There are many Christian men whose God is their job. That's what they worship. Others, it is their hobby, their four-wheeler, their this, their that. But a Christian who is faithful in stewardship is proving that he is seeking first the kingdom of God. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. God says, if the Lord be God, then follow Him. Follow Him with all your heart. What is the priority of biblical stewardship? What is this all about? Is it all about getting money for the church? If you're of the baser sort and that's your viewpoint, you're missing something greatly. This church will not rise or fall on the gift of one single person, nor on the gifts of many. If this is the Lord's church, then it's not about, quote, getting money for the church. There's something much deeper than that. This is not about money. It's about the heart of the Christian. And the priority of biblical stewardship, God has designed this, that we might express our love to Him and that we might have a heart for Him. The fact of the matter is, in the first place, the priority of biblical stewardship is that we would love the Lord. That's what this is all about, loving the Lord. Priority number one is to love the Lord. Exodus 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Listen to this, 10 commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I have many friends who are very conservative. I mean, I have the kinds of friends they're not convinced yet about certain political figures being conservative enough. I mean, they're conservative, and I thank God for them, and I am equally as conservative as I interpret the Word of God. I believe God gives us many conservative values that we should live by. But I know many people who would only endorse a conservative candidate. They would say, "I want the Ten Commandments in the Christian schools. I mean, thou shalt have no other gods before me." They'd be adamant about that. They would want prayer in the Christian schools. I remember one man telling me, "We ought to have a prayer in the public schools." He said, "We ought to have prayer back in the schools." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you pray with your children at home?" He said, "No." I said, "Then you're a hypocrite. Why should the public school do something you're not doing?" And some of these folks would say, "I believe we ought to have the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And some of the very ones who want that conservative concept, and I would love to see it as well, but they would want the Ten Commandments. They're not even keeping the Ten Commandments. It says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And they have the God of Mammon in front of the Lord. And the proof of that is they're not tithing, you see. You know, it's one thing to blow off a lot of rhetoric about certain things. It's another to plow your life as an investment in the work of the Lord and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 13. "No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other," you see. There are people who attend church, but they will hate a stewardship emphasis because they are in love with the world's mammon. Let me tell you something. Money is a great servant, but it is a lousy God. And every one of us need to recognize God did not give money to be worshipped. He gave money that we might serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." The priority of stewardship is that in all that we do with matters of investing, with matters of giving, with our testimony and stewardship, is that at the end of the day, it all reflects our love for Almighty God. And so it is the love of the Lord. Secondly, the priority of stewardship is to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. We can serve the Lord through our tithes and offerings. We can come to Him and serve Him. Deuteronomy 14:23 speaks of the fact that they would come and eat before the Lord. They would choose to place His name there. They would give the tithe of their corn, their wine, their oil, the firstlings of their herd, that they may learn to fear the Lord in all their ways. Forbes magazine did an article a few months ago and said there are currently 946 billionaires in the world. 946 billionaires in the world. That's an amazing thought. I don't know that I know how to comprehend that. And 946 of them. But they did an average of all of the charitable giving of all of the 946 billionaires. Their average percentage of giving was 1.2% annually to charitable causes. You know, many times those with the most give the least. And I want you to recognize today that as God blesses us, we're to honor Him and we're to serve Him with what He has blessed us with. 1 Timothy 6:17 is in your notes. Look at what it says. "I charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us all things to enjoy. And that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Now, folks, let's wrap this up this morning and think about it very clearly. God does not need your money. How many of you understand that? God does not need your money, but He wants what it represents. And it represents you. God wants us to worship Him from our whole heart. And one of the ways that that is intrinsically expressed is as we give to Him, He has worship from our heart. Now, as we close this morning, let's take a little quiz. I wanted to put this in the notes. There wasn't room. But I'm going to give you a little quiz today. And since you wouldn't give your wallet to your neighbor, you don't have to give the quiz to your neighbor. It'll be a self-graded test. Is that fair enough? Here's a little quiz based on today's message. I want you to think about it. First question, am I ready to give an account to my God? I think of the base commander at Edwards just a few days ago, 46 years old, got on his exercise program, just got out of the exercise room and into his car, and he met eternity. Folks, life is but a vapor. If you met eternity today, are you ready to give an account? Can you stand before the Lord and know that you've done your best in the realm of stewardship? Next, are you responsible in your planning? The steward was unwise. He had not been taking care of his master's accounts. He was not responsible. By this I mean, are you living by a budget? Are you planning and doing your best with what God has given to you? Are you investing wisely? Are you looking at ways to watch the interest rates and pay the lease amount? And are you shopping wisely? Are you responsible in your planning? Next, are you making eternity your priority? Is eternity your priority in the matter of stewardship? Are you stewarding everything else wisely so that you can do your best for the things of eternity? Let me ask you this question. Does the way you're handling money demonstrate that God can trust you with more? Are you the type of person that God could give the raise to, that God could give more to? Is the way you're handling it so that He would say, hey, you've been faithful in little. I want you to be faithful in much. Are you serving the Lord through your tithes and offerings? Are you being faithful to serve the Lord? Every one of those questions is valid and related to the text that we just learned this morning. Now, someone might be here as a guest today, and they might say, well, boy, you're preaching about offerings to the Lord and having a heart for God. And Pastor, you're emphasizing the importance of this matter. But I'm not even sure that I have a relationship with God. I don't even know that I am a Christian. How can you encourage people to do this? I had a relative here recently, and he may be in the next service, and he was asking about the buildings yesterday, and I was trying to share the gospel with him, and he asked about how all these things get done, and I was explaining to him that God touches the hearts of His people. And you know, as I was thinking of that, I thought to myself, you know, the unsaved man can't comprehend why someone would want to do these types of things. That video we saw a moment ago from Brother Richard, who said, I did more last year than I did in my previous 60 years. What's the difference? Listen, the Holy Spirit's the difference. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. All of a sudden, your whole response to God is so much different. And if you're here this morning and you don't understand any of this about giving, listen, that's okay. What you need right now is you need to recognize the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And my friend, the fact is that God doesn't want something from you today. He wants to give to you the gift, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're here today and you do not have Christ as your Savior, then we would urge you today to trust Christ. And we would love to explain to you what that means, to have your sins forgiven, to have Christ as your Savior, to have a home in heaven for all of eternity. But wait a minute. If you're sitting here and you say, Christ is my Savior, I do have a home for all of eternity, then I want to say it again, God doesn't need your money, but He wants what it represents, you. He wants to have that close and right relationship with you. And one day, all of us will hear a phraseology similar to this. Give an account of thy stewardship. Give an account of thy stewardship. We will stand before the Lord, and I believe that every one of us ought to live our lives with that day in mind, saying, I want to stand there and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, shall we pray. Father, thank you for the privilege today of being your stewards. Help us to remember that you are the owner and that we are the stewards.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin, trust Him as your Savior, and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.